Welcome in to the Just Above Average podcast. I am your host, Dominic, once again, back for another episode here. We're going to hit up a second round of Is My Congressperson Worth a Damn? This week, we're going to be doing the state of Kansas. Had this from a request by a family member who happens to live in the Kansas area. And full disclosure, I do have quite a bit of family based in the state of Kansas, kind of on the eastern half up and down the state. My father immigrated to the United States with his family as a child, where they settled in Pittsburgh, Kansas. So I have a lot of family, particularly on my dad's side, down there in the Pittsburgh area. Also have on my mom's side as well. My mom's from Olathe. I was actually born in Fort Scott, just across the state line from here where I live. Up and down the state line, I have a good family tree branching out in quite a few areas. So not as far away from home for me as you might think, but that is today's episode. Is My Congressperson Worth a Damn, Kansas edition. Let's jump right in here to our ranking of worst to best, best to worst representatives of the state of Kansas in Congress. So the state of Kansas has four representatives on the House side, and obviously the two senators on the Senate side. I'm actually going to kind of mix in some of the outgoing reps in with the ones that just got elected, because there is some crossover this year with Roger Marshall being elected to the Senate to replace Pat Roberts, who is retiring. But so we're probably going to end up ranking about 7 members, if I'm counting right. Let's just do the whole gambit, and we will get it from there. So let's just jump right in. I am going to include the outgoing representative who lost and the senator who is retiring, Pat Roberts, as well, in this list. So we're going to have a grand total of 8, despite there only being 6 positions in the congressional delegation, 4 being House of Representatives and 2 obviously being senators. So bottom of the pile, obviously, because he is leaving, would be Steve Watkins. From the jump, he's always had problems plaguing him from, residency, being that he's actually living or was living in Alaska, as opposed to the state of Kansas, has just a myriad of problems that have followed him from the very beginning. I was shocked when he won the first time a couple of years ago, but obviously, the powers that be in Washington, D.C. and in the Kansas Republican Party were not happy with him. And so he went down in a primary this year and is leaving after one term. So Steve Watkins didn't do much, won't do much, probably has no electoral future in the state of Kansas, although I guess you can't really rule anything out these days. But Steve Watkins, 8th out of 8. Jumping up to the 7th spot, that being Tracy Mann. He was lieutenant governor for the short time in which Jeff Collier was governor of the state of Kansas. And then he has won the Western District, the first congressional district, which covers most of Western Kansas. And then it kind of moves into more of the rural parts of Central and Northern Kansas as well. He's at the bottom simply because no experience in Washington, not going to probably get much prime real estate on committee assignments, being as he didn't flip a district. Not much to say about him because was literally just elected here in November and isn't really a power player on the state level. he could obviously move up the list with a good term or two, and I might be totally wrong on how he performs, but as of now, he is brand new to Congress, so down there at number 7. Up at number 6, I did have a little back and forth with who to rank 6th and 5th. I'm going to go ahead and put Jake LaTourneur, the new representative for kind of southeastern, all the way up to northern Kansas district. I believe it's the 2nd. It's called the 2nd. Sometimes I get the 2nd and the 3rd mixed up. But yeah, he is the new congressman for the 2nd congressional district. Probably one of the first millennials to serve in Congress, born in 1988, making him 32 years old. So might be just the very beginning of his political career. He did win election as the state treasurer in the state of Kansas. He kind of has a long history of being from southeast Kansas, born and raised in Galena, which is, if you're from around the Pittsburgh area, you should be familiar with Galena. Went to Pitt State, which obviously is a big school for the area. So a lot of roots. Was big in the Young Republicans, the whole deal. This is, Jake LaTourneur is a prime example of the person who you see majoring in political science in college, who knows what they're going to do. And this is one where it actually kind of worked out for him. He did get his degree in political science, surprisingly. Galena Bulldog to Pitt State Gorilla. Now, or I shouldn't say now, at 30, he won state treasurer after being in the Kansas Senate. Could potentially have a really long career in D.C. We'll see. But for now, he is near the bottom just because he's just starting out. And when you're just starting out, you don't have much to go on in these rankings. But he is one that I could see having a big rise as it pertains to Republican politics or Republican leadership. Yeah, so that moves us on to the top 5. At number 5 is a person who I'm not particularly impressed with, but he must be doing something right because he got a spot on the House Ways and Means Committee, that being Ron Estes. If you'll recall, he was the guy who took over Mike Pompeo's seat when Pompeo was tapped to be Secretary of State for Trump's cabinet. But now he is in Congress, won re-election in 18 and 20 now, and does have a seat on the Powerful Ways and Means Committee. This is the committee that's responsible for taxation and tariffs and a lot of the entitlement programs like Social Security, Medicare, et cetera, et cetera. This is probably, if not the most powerful committee in the House. It's the most sought after for sure. If you remember Paul Ryan, this was his baby. This was his be-all, end-all, was Ways and Means. So if you get a seat on this committee, you're not nothing. You're not a nobody. We'll see. We'll see what he does. I have not been impressed with him, but anytime you're on Ways and Means, that means you have some sort of clout. He is 64 years old, which means that unless he's a lifer, he's probably not going to be around too long, especially when Republicans are in the minority. We'll see how reapportionment goes and then if the Republicans can win back the House. But for now, Ways and Means, solid spot. Gets him on to the 5th spot here in the rankings. The next person I am going to put on is a current House member who just got elected to the Senate from that first congressional district, now for the entire state of Kansas as senator, one Roger Marshall. in most cases, or a lot of cases, I should say, I will, I would usually put most senators ahead of House members, just because there is a reason why the Senate is called the upper house. They have more power, confirmation powers, a whole bunch of reasons that makes them more powerful. But Roger Marshall was just elected. He will be in the bottom in terms of seniority, but he is in the Senate with probably no real challenge to his seat in the future. He doesn't do anything too outrageous like Kris Kobach in order to lose. Barbara Beaulieu put up a solid fight for the state of Kansas for this seat. But yeah, Roger Marshall, he has been in the House for a couple of years now, not too long, but he is actually the one who took out a incumbent Republican in 2016, Tim Hauskamp. And I remember that one now. Hauskamp threw a big hissy fit about losing in a primary and made some problems for the Republican Party. But yeah, now Marshall's in the Senate, and he'll start to work his way up, I guess. I wouldn't expect him to have a very exciting career, just because he wasn't that sought after. They were clamoring for Mike Pompeo to come back and run for the Senate seat, and he never did, so they just kind of fell back to Marshall, so it's not like he was a coveted recruit or anything like that. But being from the western part of Kansas, I don't think he will ever lose a primary, because that's where the biggest chunk of Republican primary votes is. So that is Mr. Roger Marshall at number four. Number three, might shock a few people, but shouldn't be all that shocking, would be Sharice Davids. That is the only Democratic representative here in the state of Kansas. She is the 3rd congressional district, which basically is just the Kansas side of the Kansas City metro area, Overland Park, Prairie Village, Lenexa, Leawood, Olathe. She got a lot of fame, I guess, at first, for being openly LGBT, as well as a Native American being elected to Congress. But I think the more press she got was from people kind of clumping her in with the squad, the AOCs. And she's done I think, pretty strong job of distancing herself from that group. She has made a pretty solid reputation for herself in the past couple of years. Her first election was in 2018. But I think a lot of people have a lot of positive things to say about her. And perhaps one of the bigger things is that now that Deb Haaland is going to be in the Biden cabinet as Secretary of the Interior, that will leave Sharice Davids as the only Native American woman in Congress. Given this nation's history and the Native American history, that's not nothing. It's pretty big deal. Also, because she flipped a seat, she got some prime real estate in terms of committee memberships, small business committee, transportation and infrastructure. This will actually be big in a Biden administration, especially as it pertains to getting those dollars from the transportation committee for her district and just the state of Kansas in general. Anybody who knows anything about Congress knows who sits on the committees of deciding where money goes, sees their districts get a little more bigger piece of the pie than some of the other districts. But she does have a decent amount of clout. The DCCC chair, Sherry Bustos, which is kind of the House recruitment and campaign side, kind of gave her high compliments. She said, and I'm going to quote here, I'd rate her towards the top of the freshman class in terms of doing things the right way. She's not a show-off. She's an athlete, and if you've known any high-level athletes, they're disciplined, they're methodical, nailing all the fundamentals. So yeah, I mean, obviously, to get that kind of praise from a chair of the DCCC means that you're definitely going to be one to watch out for. She, as we see urban, suburban, and even ex-urban areas trend more towards the Democrats, it'll be interesting to see if her district gets split in redistricting, or if Republicans just try and jam all the Democrats that they are see turning into her district and make it a super Democratic district rather than one that was held by a Republican just a couple years ago. I'm interested. We'll see. She's pretty pretty well on a solid track towards being reputable and gathering a decent amount of power for that third congressional district. Moving up to the top two, number two would actually be number one if he had run for re-election, but because he's retiring, I'm putting him at number two, and that is Pat Roberts, a longtime senator, been a staple in Kansas politics for a long, long time. First elected to the Senate in 1996. Always been big on agriculture committees, which for the state of Kansas is obviously huge. Big into farm bills, setting those up. Yeah, I mean, he's your old school kind of Rockefeller Republican, Bush Republican era. That's the story. I mean, long distinguished career, relatively immune to the Trumpism that we saw arise in the past 4 to 5 years. I mean, you get that when you know you're going to retire, and so you just don't really give much of a hoot about what people say about you or running against you. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, would be number one, given his longevity and his power that he had accrued over years of service. Retiring, and sad for the state of Kansas to see him go, because does have a solid chunk of power there for the state of Kansas. But leaves us with the number one spot, that going to Mr. Senator Jerry Moran. Gerald Wesley Moran, as his true name is. He is relatively new to Congress. The Senate. He first won Congress, his Senate seat in 2010, so he should be up in 2022. Senators always have more power than House members. He actually was the NRSC chairman, the person who's responsible for recruiting Senate candidates and helping run Senate campaigns for Republicans. He did that for the 2014 cycle, which was the first time that Republicans won back the Senate. So anytime you flip the House or Senate back to your party when you didn't have it before for quite a while, that's going to gain you a lot of clout with not only the people you recruited to run, and when they win, they come in, they kind of owe you a debt of gratitude, but the bigwigs in the party see that you can eye talent and can see the waves of the political future, if you will. They see you as someone who could be a potential successor for leadership. He hasn't really parlayed that 2014 cycle into moving up in leadership, but anybody who has that kind of track record with elections or running their parties, NRSC or DSCC, They're going to have a level of respect, and the party will have their back. So that means that he has some level of power. He's on appropriations in the Senate, which is like the ways and means basically for the House. Not too much in terms of other, I mean, he's on Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, but he's your traditional right-wing conservative. There's no real surprises with Jerry Moran, but in terms of power in Congress, he is, at least for the state of Kansas, definitely the strongest. And I'll just say, kind of overall, more than this is interesting, but I would just say, in general, Kansas has one of the probably weakest congressional delegations, and it's mostly due to inexperience. But you're not going to see Kansas driving the bus in terms of what legislation gets considered or seeing a lot of federal dollars steered their way. Relatively weak delegation. If I had to just ballpark it in my head, out of the 50 states, they would easily be probably in the low 30s to high 40s in terms of how powerful they were. Not very. There's only a few states that I would put below, and I can't really think of them off the top of my head. So in all fairness, yeah, you're probably in the 40s in terms of congressional power and delegation. Wouldn't see a whole lot get done from these people, but we shall see how like Jake LaTourneur does. He could easily rise in the House, I think. We'll see. I'm not too excited or down about the possibilities of these members. They're not powerful. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up here for this episode of Is Your Congressperson Worth a Damn? Kansas Edition. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all later.